Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Wizards of Amazon podcast, where we cover all things private label. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I will be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have an amazing person from my number one inspection agency, VTrust. We have Mitch Johnson. What's up, Mitch?
Doing all right. Thanks, Carlos. Thanks for having us on. How are you doing today?
I am doing amazing. Now, we are not face-to-face recording this. We actually have quite a time zone between us and some miles. I don't know how many. Can you share where you're recording this from?
Yeah, we're in Guangzhou, China in the south. So it's about 6 a.m. here, still dark outside. Just finished my coffee, so hopefully that'll be enough.
So no tea, coffee. You're doing the coffee thing, right? And you know Chinese accent, which I love.
Yeah. Tea is just not quite enough for 6 a.m.
Awesome. I understand that you're we've not met personally yet, but I understand you're an account manager for VTrust. What I would love to kick this off, because I know that we have several really cool episodes planned to release in the future surrounding inspections and VTrust. I'd love for people that are listening to this to get to know you a little better. You mentioned you're from Idaho, and I cracked a joke before this about how does Idaho connect to Guangzhou. I'd love to know how you got started being an account manager with VTrust, and what's your background, and what does account manager mean?
Okay. Yeah, so I'm from Idaho in the Boise area, so potato state, if anyone doesn't know what that is. But I came to China in, I believe it was 2012, about 9 years ago. And I went to Beijing first, spent a couple of years there, and then came down south to Guangzhou for the warmer weather. And then hooked up with VTrust and started working as an account manager who basically helped handled foreign buyers' accounts for booking inspections, quality control, and I also work in the marketing department here. So we like to publish a lot of blog articles, videos concerning quality control, how we check different kinds of products, things to pay attention to when maybe something is trending, like right now there's a container shortage, so we'll have maybe a blog article about that. So we like to post a lot of that stuff on social media for people to check out.
Cool. Yeah. The container shortage, I think, is everybody's stressing about that on this end. Let me ask you though, from Idaho though, a lot of people in Idaho are like, oh, I'm going to go on a vacation. Let me go to Miami or let me go to Orlando. How did you, why Beijing?
Well, after university, I was debating between law school and living in another country. At that point, law school, to be honest, it was a bit expensive and there were a lot of people doing it. So I figured some worldly experience would do me better at that point. So I came to China because I actually had a friend here already who I went to school with. And the initial plan was 1 year, and then it was one more year, and another year, and another year, and I'm still here.
That's crazy. That's awesome. And you've been there for quite some time now. So I think you definitely picked the right profession, because what you do is a lot more exciting than law.
Yeah, it's it's a lot less research, and well, it's still research, but probably a bit more interesting than law. Yeah.
So, as an account manager, I understand also that you maybe, I don't know if this is the right word, you specialize in working with Amazon sellers, or you're more familiar with the relationship that Amazon sellers have with VTrust and their factories. Is that correct? And how did that come about?
It's pretty, in my experience, pretty incidental, mostly due to the pandemic, especially. This past year or so has been really busy, obviously, because no one can come and visit their own orders in the factories or check out their suppliers. So we've been picking up a lot in that area. And since everyone's been staying home, a lot of people are, you know, starting their own little side business, selling something on Amazon. And so we've been seeing quite a lot of, you know, newcomers asking for help, looking for advice or services on dealing with their product shipments.
What would you say are the most popular three inspections that Amazon sellers specifically ask for? And did that change during the pandemic?
I would say there are probably two most popular and then one that people occasionally do. Most popular is sample check. So obviously you can have your supplier send you a sample to where you are, like in your country, but you got to wait for either air or ocean freight, and it takes a while. It's possible damage. So what we can do is have the supplier send the sample here to our office. We can check it in our in-house lab here, type up a full report for people to see. Second would be lab testing, because especially for Amazon sellers who are selling in the U.S., we even have, you know, people in Australia who are selling in the U.S. Amazon FBA. So they have, you know, certain things they need to fulfill, like California Proposition 65 needs to pass certain things. Also like FDA testing, CPSIA, so they need to clear those. But by far the most popular service is pre-shipment inspection, or PSI. So that's just a product check at the end of production. So 100% needs to be done, and then at least 80% needs to be packed. So we go there, check everything according to our checklists. That's quantity, the appearance, product specs, function tests, marking and labeling, which is important for Amazon. You got to have the Amazon FNSKU, Amazon packing requirements. So we can cover all of those things within a pre-shipment inspection.
You know, I've been working with VTrust, and I have nothing but praise to offer VTrust. Do you know, I did not know there was a sample inspection.
Oh, really? Yeah. It wasn't as popular before the pandemic, because people preferred to maybe either come here or send it to, you know, their home country. But with travel restrictions, as well as, you know, higher cost of freight, that's becoming much more popular. Because it's pretty standardized.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this, like pros and cons of doing this. I'll have to chew on this for a bit. Like, do you send pictures and video? I know pictures that you see in the inspection report, but if like video was requested, would you guys do that for the samples?
Right. Yeah. So for the sample check, we actually provide basically the same report that we do for a pre-shipment inspection, except it's one or two items instead of 125. So you got photos, there's videos, if, you know, function check needs to have a video. So we put it through the full round of tests, especially if it comes with the complete packaging and things like that. We'll check everything that we can and, you know, do a report that you can review at home.
I would imagine the pricing depends on the product or the type of product that it is. And I know you guys have been very generous with a 5% off link for all of the listeners. What are you able to give a ballpark on what a price would be just for a sample inspection?
Kind of depends on the complexity of the product. But it can be like max is going to be $268 for a man day of checking the sample. But it kind of depends on the situation. So we can discuss with people, you know, what's going to be involved in the checks and go from there. One benefit from the sample check, from having it sent here, is that once that sample is approved, We also refer to that as like a golden sample. So that, you know, the factory themselves, they know this is what they have to match in terms of quality. But our inspector will also have that sample on hand when they go to inspect your order. So they can compare the final product and the golden sample side by side. That way there's much less guesswork. We don't need to clarify something that's unexpected that comes up by calling. We have everything right there. So it's a bit more clear.
Man, I think I'm gonna pull the trigger on a few of those right there, because I'm trying to, like, in my head, and we're getting a little, I'm a little off topic here, but like in my head, I'm trying to calculate like what, I think I spend more than that on like DHL shipping to get some of my samples over here. So
yes, that shipping can be pretty expensive, especially DHL is, they're good, but yeah, they're not cheap. FedEx.
Yeah. And then just lost time waiting for the sample back and forth. Occasionally something breaks, customs. That's a steal. That's a steal. I like it. Okay. I made a little note here for me to revisit that and to perhaps place an order for that later, but I appreciate you sharing that. The episode today, I really want to focus on, and this is almost like the working title in my head is like, you know, best practices for scheduling a pre-shipment inspection and what to do if it fails. Talk to me about that. Like how about this? Let's do this first. The majority of Amazon sellers that hire the service of pre-shipment inspection, what are they getting wrong when they do that?
Okay. Yeah. So before we get into that, I think there's probably going to be two main takeaways from this that are related to each other. One, which I'm sure you can attest to, is never assume anything. Assume that things are going to go according to plan. And because of that, make sure you schedule some buffer time in between the inspection and your shipment date. Because more often than not, not everything goes according to plan. So the majority of Amazon sellers that we get, a lot of them come from, you know, different kinds of Amazon schools, or they're referred by someone like yourself, you know, an Amazon expert or someone who became very successful. So these people want to do the responsible thing, check the QC box, which is great, but the mistake they make is assuming that the inspection is going to go well. I think probably because a lot of people think any problems that come up are maybe malicious, like the factory is trying to rip them off, which actually the majority of the cases, they're not malicious. It comes down to maybe miscommunication, innocent mistakes, and so on. So what these Amazon sellers do, we refer to them as buyers, of course, but they haven't experienced this before, so they schedule the inspection, and then their shipment date is scheduled for the next day, right after the inspection. They're assuming it's going to go well, but often is the case that it doesn't go quite well. And when the inspection fails or some defect that they weren't anticipating pops up, they've got to choose either to ship the goods as is with the defects, leave the bad ones behind, or cancel the shipment date and try to reschedule later after it's fixed. And that's a huge headache that nobody really wants to deal with right now.
Well, thank you for sharing that. What do you see as a safe buffer time to schedule in for an inspection?
So I'm going to say that I kind of just made this up, but follow the rule of 3 and 3. Try to, one, give us 3 days advance notice before booking the inspection so we can talk to your supplier, schedule everything, reserve the inspector. In busy times, more in advance is great. 5 days, 2 weeks, as far in advance as you want is great. And then the second 3 is 3 days before shipment. That way, if something does come up, your supplier has a chance to rework or replace the products before it has to be sent to the port. Okay. So for example, right now, Chinese New Year, as everyone can probably see when they're importing, things are really crammed as far as scheduling goes. Factories are trying to pump out as many orders as they can. And right now is actually when the highest rate of defects happen. And they're also trying to hit their schedules. So as far in advance as you can is great. 3 days, I would say 3 days minimum before your shipment date is good for an inspection.
Let me, you mentioned sample inspections before and the golden sample. How does it work for a pre-shipment inspection when I want to schedule one? And let's say I do give you 3 weeks, 3 days to a week in advance notice, and you don't have a golden sample. Mm-hmm. What does that look like to get things going? And how do you determine if the product meets the buyer's criteria?
So if we do not have that sample available, then we'll probably ask the buyer or client for any kind of technical data that they have. So logos, artwork files, Pantone colors, as many details as they can provide so we can check in as much detail as possible. If we don't have any of that, we will report on like actual findings. But we'll be less able to make a recommendation as far as whether to accept the shipment or not if we don't have details about what the buyer is expecting. For example, a lot of new Amazon sellers, they might choose the ODM route. They'll look at a catalog from a factory, choose a product, they put my logo on this, change the color a little bit, and I'll buy 1,000 units. But they may not specify very much, like, for example, material for a certain component. They're expecting, maybe a soft, durable rubber, but it comes out as a cheaper plastic. And that's because the factory assumed that this would be okay for you because you didn't specify any other preferences. So being aware of those things, giving as much detail as possible to both your supplier and the inspector later, that's going to save you a lot of problems later as well.
Awesome. What about like something that used to happen to me a lot is I would have a product and I felt that there was this special thing about the product that wasn't going to get caught in the inspection. I'm trying to think of a good example. Okay. Here's one, and you guys actually gave me the solution to this, but I want to know if it's something that's regularly or normally included in a pre-shipment inspection. So I had this stainless steel induction style gooseneck kettle, and okay. I saw my competitors selling this product, and I realized that a lot of the negative reviews they were getting was that when the kettle was full of water, the weight of it would like compress the handle, and it would get your hand, which is holding the handle, too close to the body of the kettle, burning your hand. So I wanted to really address this in a product, but the only way, like a regular inspection that went in there, wasn't filling the kettle full of, water or hot water with weight. It was just testing the actual product. So I expressed the concern to the person I was speaking to, I don't recall the name, at VTrust. And they were like, look, well, I think it was like ball bearings or something they wind up putting in it or something heavy. It was like even heavier than the product. And it was measured. It was like very specific measurements as to whether there was any give in the handle. It wound up saving me a ton of money. And there was actually a problem with the handle. And I was able to address it intelligently with the inspector via the report. Now, if there are special circumstances that somebody has with a product, can they and how would they bring them up to be included in that inspection?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because, we as well as, a lot of other inspection companies, we have our standard checklist that we put things through. But, there's always some kind of unique product or some special requirement that people have. So that's, we encourage people to, bring those up with our account managers. So we have, different teams that focus on different products. They have a lot of experience with those types of products. And we do frequently ask our clients, you know, do you have any special requirements for this or anything in particular you want us to pay attention to? And so, you know, someone might bring up something like you said, you know, previous inspections or things that have happened before didn't quite fulfill what I wanted. So we can absolutely add, you know, special requirements or particular things to pay attention to in the inspection to make sure we address that, because, you know, a standard checklist is not going to be perfect for every product. So yeah, if anyone has any, even just a simple description, like please fill it up with more water to test the function, or maybe run it for an extra hour to see if it gets hot, anything like that, we can usually you know, make an accommodation for.
Oh, that's good to know. And I guess that's baked into the price as long as it's, you know, something reasonable.
Right. Yeah. If it, if everything can fit in one man day, then there's no extra charge for that. So, like we mentioned before, like Amazon requirements, if someone needs, you know, the Amazon labels checked, packing checked, as long as everything can be done within a man day, then there's no extra charge for things like that.
You know, there was something that I wish you guys had always offered, a little aside, and then I want to get into like what to do when a shipment fails, was you guys have to be like the most amazing resource on earth to know like who is a quality factory and who is not, like in your archives. You obviously don't share that, but it would be awesome to like say, I'm looking for someone that knows how to make this. And there was like, you were the go-to resource for that. Do you think that's something VTrust will ever offer in the future?
That is
if you can share.
Commonly asked question. And yeah, it does fit the bill very well. Unfortunately, like as an inspection company that has international accreditation, we have to meet certain criteria. And one of those is being impartial, to be as objective as possible. So if we did, you know, provide like direct sourcing services, that could easily present a conflict of interest. Because a big concern for people is, you know, what kind of relationship does the inspector have with the factory? And if we compromise our, you know, objectivity in that situation, we can't provide reliable inspection reports. So we would like to, you know, provide people with as much help as we can. Unfortunately, there are some things we can't do, and we can't recommend factories for that reason.
Yeah, I get it. No, I totally get the logic there. It's actually admirable that you're sticking to your guns on that. There's a lot of other, you know, it seems like people are just popping up all over the place calling themselves inspection companies, and then they also have a prep center, and they also do inspect, like they do all these different things. But I get what you're saying, and that's one of the many reasons why I choose to just work with you guys. Let's talk about...
Yeah, one thing we can do that is good for maybe someone who's a bit experienced and looking to branch out their sourcing, we can do factory audits. So if someone has a supplier in mind and they want to check to see how good they are, we can visit a factory for them, check out their production capacity, their manpower, the business license, make sure the business scope matches what they say they can actually do. So we can check out individual suppliers.
That's the inspection that I do to lead everything off with every new supplier I plan on working with. I mean, if I know it's going to be a one-off, I don't do it. But normally I'm looking for someone that I can grow with. I believe you guys call it a full factory audit. I recommend it. It's like one of the pricier ones too. I think it's like $400 to $600 or something like that, but it's totally worth it. I highly recommend it.
There are a couple of different ones. Factory audit is $398 dollars. And then there's another one that's a social audit that checks for like child labor, forced labor, things like that. That one's $498 dollars. So that's more popular with like larger retail companies that want to make sure things are ethically sourced. But like you said, for long-term cooperation, factory audit is a good option.
That's another inspection I didn't know existed. I'm going to have to get like a list. I'm going to get like a playlist from you guys from what, like all the different things you have. The ones that I usually use is like, yeah. I have like the container loading inspection, pre-shipment inspection, the factory audit, like surprise, random inspection, stuff like that. Those are the ones I've used mostly. But so when something fails, I've had two experiences with this. Let me share this and then you let me know the correct way. So some cases I'd get back I'm going to call it a failed inspection, but I was glad to have those points pointed out, like what resulted in the failure, but overall they were of little to no impact on my product, the defect rate of the product that I would have selling it in the US. On the other hand, I've had the same thing happen. And it was like, oh yeah, this thing would harm somebody if they drank out of it. Like, I really need to know this. How does somebody make heads or tails of that? And so what to do when you receive the inspection report and it has failed?
Right. Yeah, a lot of people have a very quick negative reaction when inspection fails. But it's important to understand why it failed. Because it could be something critical, like you said, like this could be a danger to your end customer. But sometimes, like, maybe the failure is just due to quantity. Maybe they weren't quite done producing every single unit when the inspector arrived. That would often warrant a failure. There might also be maybe one too many defects present in the sample size, or maybe even just something like color shade. Maybe the color shade is just a little bit off of what you were expecting. That would also warrant a failure. So what you can do is go through that, make sure you understand why it failed, and then you can decide, which things you're willing to accept, which things you're not willing to accept. Because maybe everything is a slightly different color shade than what you wanted, but then you decide, oh, I actually like this better. You can definitely still accept that and ship it, and you're going to be fine. The things you want to watch out for are critical defects, which are like safety risks, and major defects, which are, damage to the unit or sharp edges or things that are going to affect the actual saleability of the product, especially selling through Amazon, where if you get a lot of returns, that's going to take a pretty heavy toll on your seller account.
And say I get an inspection back and it fails, and you guys do a really good job. For anyone listening to this that has not received a report, I mean, it is thorough. It's very spelled out, a lot of images. It's thick, actually. It's a big doc. Like, I've printed these things out. Fortunately, you get them electronically, but it's a very impressive, very thorough document. And say I find a few things that I need to work with the factory on to get fixed. Obviously, before I pay the remaining balance and ship this product, I'm going to want to get this reinspected because we're not working on the honor code here. Is there anything different in that case where I'm reinspecting a pre-shipment inspection, or is it the same thing?
It's usually good to, take a good account on of what actually went wrong. Of course, communicate to your supplier what you want to be different, and then during the reinspection, tell your inspector what to focus on. And we know what the problems were last time, so we're going to pay special attention to those this time to make sure things were fixed in a way that is going to satisfy you. And regarding that, a lot of buyers will negotiate with their factory to have the factory pay for the reinspection, especially if there's something the factory didn't do that was in the purchase order. So if they, maybe cut a corner and didn't provide the level of quality that you both agreed to initially, usually you can, leverage your position in the contract to have them pay for the reinspection. That way you're not out, the extra money for something that's not your fault. Just make sure that you communicate what should be paid, special attention to in the reinspection so that things can be taken care of. Usually factories will accept that situation.
Yeah, I found them very agreeable. If you don't say anything, then they'll just let you pay it. I found
never assume anything, I again.
Right. Yeah. So I found that if you ask them to pay for it, they usually don't, but they'll be okay with deducting it from the remaining balance. So it's about the same thing. Right. Yeah, that definitely works. Is there anything else? I feel like we covered pretty thorough from, you know, starting a pre-shipment inspection all the way through until what to do if it fails and you revisit it. Is there any other hacks or knowledge that you've accumulated that you would want to share with the listeners before we start wrapping this up?
Yeah, just to reiterate, I mean, in the event of a failed inspection, again, that's where your time buffer really benefits you. That way, if you have a couple of days for them to fix up a few things, you can, you know, have them sort out some of the bad products or rework some of the defects, and then you can still make your shipment date okay. And then as you, you know, build up your experience, you know, keep importing for many months or a year. One thing we also offer online, we have, we call it our quality control dashboard, which accumulates all of the data from your past inspections. So you can actually evaluate the trends over time that you have, how many defects for which product from which supplier. So you can basically get an analysis of all of your past orders and use that to make some, you know, decisions on how to improve product quality or work better with your supplier. And usually that helps a lot of people who are especially doing this long-term to avoid some of these problems in the future.
I love it, Mitch. I really appreciate your time. It was very generous of you sharing this knowledge and really breaking down the pre-shipment inspection. I know we have at least two other episodes that we're going to put out in the future on different types of inspections and really unpack the entire inspection so everyone really understands them. I know they can be intimidating for a lot of people, but you guys are also sharing a very generous code. I really appreciate that. The 5% for all the listeners, the link to that will be in the show notes. Before completely wrapping up, because I want to be respectful of your time, what is the best way for people to, I don't know, get a hold of you about questions of anything on this show? Or any other inspections that they might want to start or whatnot?
Sure. Yeah. Any questions or requests, we can handle that. So probably best way, since there's a big time zone difference between your US listeners and here, send an email. So my email is Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L at vtrust.com. So send us an email anytime. We're happy to help you out, give you some advice, and you know, work with you to hopefully, you know, get your products in good quality before shipment, before they're sent halfway around the world.
Cool. Last one before you get to escape from the show, and that is, what is your favorite book and why?
Favorite book, probably actually a book I'm reading currently is called The Rational Optimist by Matt Ridley. So it's actually kind of related to this topic. It's an economics book, but focuses on how the human tendency to trade and therefore specialize is beneficial for basically progressing society. So as we have more opportunity to trade with each other, we specialize more and we can basically make our lives better through that. So pretty interesting, especially for an economics book, which tends to be dry. It's a pretty good read.
Yeah, definitely. The only economics book I've ever read that I really enjoyed was, I think, Freakonomics, if that could be.
That's a good book. I like that book.
Yeah, definitely. You said this one's called The Rational Optimist?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I've not read this one. I'm definitely going to grab it on Amazon right after we finish, and I'll link to it in the show notes. Huge, huge thank you for your time again. Love VTrust. Loved everything you shared. Thank you very much, and I look forward to having you back on the show soon.
No problem. We appreciate you having us too as well. Great talking to you.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Carlos. We'll talk to you again soon.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.